Mutual presents direct from London a report by Arthur Mann, one of Mutual's American correspondents in Europe. European broadcasts are subject to censorship at the point of origin. We take you now to London.
Good evening, everybody. We are probably facing a perilous 3 weeks in this battle of Britain. Despite the rather untruthful mass formation air raids on this country in the last 4 weeks, there is expectation that Germany will intensify and amplify them while the period of fairly certain good weather lasts. Notwithstanding Germany's losses in these attacks and the relatively negligible damage done to military objectives, it would be dangerous not to assume that Hitler has some well-defined plan of operations worked out, which will be a severer test for the defense forces of Great Britain than anything they have yet had to meet. Among some here, the comfortable theory is held that all danger of an attempted invasion has practically passed. It is certain, however, that neither the government nor the defense authorities share this unofficial optimism. Part of this public optimism is undoubtedly due to the morale with which the people here are withstanding the air raid. The piercing alarm siren is ceasing to send that shiver down the public spine with the intensity at first felt. In districts where few or no bombs have yet fallen, you see the people walking about the streets, shopping or pursuing their routine business life, as though nothing was likely to happen. In districts which have become accustomed to bombing, the inhabitants make their pilgrimages to garden, basement, or public raid shelters in much the same calm manner with which we at home duck in out of a sudden rainstorm. Habit, the habit of withstanding the menace of bombs, and the growth of a certain philosophic fatalism among the people here, is producing a mental defense against the German air terror, which is worth a lot in the total defense resources of the country. This getting accustomed to raids is permitting the government to lessen the nuisance value of the raids, to shorten the periods during the day and night during which production of war material and the carrying on of essential war administration has to be suspended. Though the sirens still warn the public when the danger of a raid threatens, industrial plants and administrative offices within the menaced area don't necessarily cease operations. A system of rooftop watchers and listeners is being built up throughout the country. Work below continues despite the public warning until these sentinels give the alarm that enemy planes are approaching. Then the workers below go to their shelters. Knowing that their wives and their families have been warned to take shelter, the men and women in the factories are proving themselves willing to face additional risk and continue their work until the course of the German bombings is known to be definitely in their direction. Meanwhile, those here who feel and believe that Italy is the immediately vulnerable objective of the Axis powers have been cheered by tonight's news of British naval activity in the Near East during the last 6 days. Two British fleets set out, one from Gibraltar and the other from Alexandria, and swept the Mediterranean from end to end. I've been working on this talk at my home in the suburbs after dinner tonight, when at this point, Wailing Willie, our pet raid siren, blared out. So I grabbed a taxi and came downtown to the broadcasting studio to finish it, in case bombs or anti-aircraft fire should chase traffic off the street. We are now in the midst of one of our regular night alarms, as I continue. So to return to the Mediterranean. The British naval commander-in-chief in the Mediterranean was hoping either to catch the Italian fleet at sea or to lure it out. And sure enough, the main British fleet had not been at sea long when a flash came that the Italian fleet, battleships, cruisers, and destroyers, was out. A British submarine put two torpedoes into something. The captain didn't have time to see what before he dived. Meanwhile, the main British fleet was full speed ahead after the Italian, taking the precautions first to shoot down a shadowing Italian plane. But that latter must have gotten a radio signal back to the Italians. But when the British ships reached the area from which the Italians had been signaled, the latter were back in harbor again, and it stayed there for the remainder of the British naval sweep. However, making the best of a piece of bad luck, British aircraft of the fleet air arms then bombed the Italian air base on the island of Rhodes, as well as other Italian airdromes. And British warships bombarded the Italian base at Scarpento in the Dodecanese Islands. It is reported that in 5 days' steaming, the British fleet saw no Italian warships save five motor torpedo boats, two of which were promptly sunk and another damaged. Five Italian planes are reported to have been brought down as well. During this British naval cruise, British ships landed supplies and stores of various kinds of Malta in broad daylight without any naval or air opposition from the Italians. This British naval activity in the Mediterranean may be particularly significant in that it took place at a time when Italy was threatening Greece. It was also undoubtedly a sign of the large naval reinforcements which, as Prime Minister Winston Churchill announced in Parliament today, have reached the Mediterranean. And there's good reason for believing, too, that the British land and air forces in the Near East have likewise been reinforced in preparation for the expected Italian operations against Egypt. A detailed British naval dispatch from the Mediterranean has just come in about the sweep operations. Naval aircraft attacked the Italian airdrome at Elma in Sardinia. Bad visibility made observation results difficult, but an Italian broadcast admitted that one wing of the military headquarters was destroyed, as well as two airplanes on the ground. One of the British planes returning from this raid after dropping all of its bombs machine-gunned the conning tower of an Italian submarine, which immediately died. During the raid on the Cagliari airdrome in Sicily, Italian searchlights at Scapa were bombed and put out of action. During the British naval bombardment of military objectives in the Italian Dodecanese Islands, the airdrome and surrounding buildings at Macriello and the harbor at Sigardia in Scarpanto Island were shelled. The airdrome at Macriello was plastered with 6-inch shells, and none of the surrounding buildings were left intact. And now back to London. Reports on tonight's raid have been coming in. A considerable number of German bombers crossed the east coast and headed inland. Soon enemy planes were reported over 9 towns in England and Wales. A fierce anti-aircraft barrage was seen from the London area, and the sound of heavy AA fire came from a London suburb. Incendiary and whistling bombs are reported to have fallen in the London area. A heavy explosion was heard just after flares fell from a German plane, and then came some incendiary bombs. At intervals, a strange glow could be seen in midair. There is some belief that it was caused by the dropping of Molotov bread baskets. These are containers which explode in the air, releasing about 100 incendiary bombs. There would be a red glow of 15 seconds, followed by a terrific explosion in the air, and then brilliant streaks of light chased across the sky. Few casualties and little damage was reported after two bombs fell in the London district. A German plane has crashed in flames in a northeast coast town. A single German plane flying low over a northwest area market town dropped 3 bombs, 1 in a garden and 2 on a main road. A bungalow was demolished and 3 women were injured by bomb fragments. That, folks, is a fragmentary picture of tonight's Battle of Britain. The raid is still on after 5 hours. But it's time to say thank you and good night.
Arthur Mann, one of Mutual's American correspondents in Europe, has reported direct from London.